kind of impressed with that anniversary deal. Some couple from Siler City, that's something for me to look forward to or forget. A wedding anniversary, I'm talking about. I presume I'll forget it. Well, it's a joy to be here. I'm always happy to come through the Piedmont section. I never do so without hearing good news. A lady came up to me this morning. She said, Heavenly, you don't know me, but when you were on Asper Street having a series of meetings, you tied into our electricity. She said, I didn't go over to hear you right next door, but I sat at the kitchen window and heard. And she said, after you closed the meeting, went over to the tabernacle, I took my children over there. Mrs. Cummings, she said, all five of us are safe on the way to heaven. So you never know these little links of the past that sometimes are forged into quite a lengthy chain. Shall we turn in our Bibles to Lamentation 1:12. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see, if there be any sorrow, like unto my sorrow wherewith the Lord, hath done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. From above hath he sent fire into my bones, and it prevailed against me. Chapter 3:19-20. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath been still in remembrance and is humbled in me. And I want to refer to a text in Peter, 1 Peter, chapter 1 and verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching after what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. I want to speak on a subject this morning, very serious, solemn subject, and I'm going to read a piece of poetry that I ran across to more or less give you the subject. I am more powerful than the combined armies of the world. I have destroyed more than all the wars of time. I am more deadly than bullets and have wrecked more homes than the mightiest of siege guns. I steal in the United States alone over $300 billion every year. I spare no one and find my victims among the rich and the poor alike, young and old, strong and weak. Widows and orphans know me. I loom up to such proportions that I cast my shadow over every field of labor, from the turning of the grindstone to the moving of every train. I massacre thousands upon thousands of wage earners every year. I lurk in unseen places and do most of my work silently. You are warned against me, but heed me not. I am relentless. I am everywhere, in the home, on the street, in the factory, at railroad crossings, on the sea. I bring sickness, degradation, death, and yet few seek to avoid me. I destroy, crush, maim. I give nothing, but take all. I am your worst enemy. Who am I? Indifference. I don't know a text that brings it out any more than the one I read in Lamentations. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see, if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. Last night, I took Webster's dictionary and tried to find out what he has to say relative to indifference, carelessness. He says it's neutrality, impartiality, insensibility, apathy, unconcern, a kind of agnosticism. A remarkable law, Solon, a sage of the 6th century before Christ. He said any person who, in the commotion of the Republic, remain neutral, or an indifferent spectator of the contending parties, should be condemned to perpetual banishment. And this was remarkable. He says indifferent tissue in anatomy, tissue in a primitive condition, not yet having developed into any characteristic form, retarded, embryonic connection. That's indifference. Possibly if I were to call you by name and say you're guilty of these things, you'd be offended. And yet the tragedy is the majority of people are guilty of indifference or being a spectator to something and not willing to become involved. Time and time again you see in the newspaper or hear it over the news, someone is being robbed, raped, or murdered, and bystanders look on indifferent. They don't want to be involved. And that's the sad thing today when it comes to Christianity. Indifference. Indifference as to the condition of the American home and the cause of that indifference, neglect of spiritual things. The consequences of that indifference, that carelessness, more decline, more delinquency, decay, and doom. During the war, possibly, I remember the incident when Singapore, that great, impregnable British bastion in the Malayan Peninsula, high life was at its peak that night. Even the guards involved, unquietly but silently, the Japs crept down the peninsula, and that great bastion fell, shocking the world. Why? Indifference. You might trace Pearl Harbor to indifference on the part of someone. This awful word, indifference. Remember Jonah? Here is Jonah, and he's in a sleep of indifference. He slept, and a great storm was raging. All the seamen were in jeopardy. Yet Jonah slept, a sleep of indifference. The sailors had to waken him up, shake him out of his indifference and apathy. Why is this storm upon us? Yes, how many today are sleeping? The sleep of indifference, carelessness. You think of the case of Felix. What did Felix do? Here is Paul, and Paul is reasoning of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix says, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. Also the case of Gallio, the deputy of Achaia. And here they bring in a man by the name of Sosthenes. And he was the ruler of the synagogue. And they beat this man before this man Gallio, and it says Gallio cared for none of these things. Indifference. Matthew 22, you have a case of a marriage of the king's son, and it happened to be God's son. The invitation is sent out. to come. But the Bible tells us that one went to his farm, another to his merchandise. They made life. Making a living was more important than the marriage of the king's son. Indifference. The shrug of the shoulder. So what? This is the age in which we live. The age of indifference. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, the Bible says? Our nation, like all nations, is dreading atomic warfare because of the deadly fallout that will take place following such an attack. Radioactivity. But there's a more deadly peril settling down upon the American scene. Your homes, your heart, and even radioactive fallout, and that's the deadly peril of indifference. Forever, let peace, grace be merry, tomorrow will we die. That's what they do today. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They're not concerned about that which is most important in life. Spiritual things. Spiritual vanities. The material is all people are concerned about. Some of years ago when I was visiting in Florida, I visited in the home of, they had a nursing home there operated by Mr. Hardy, Wesley Hardy. A young couple lived in that home. They didn't have any children. They loved each other. He was secretary of a big department store and also secretary of a big shopping center. He and his wife used to come home for his dinner, and his wife would walk back with him to his office about 2 blocks. And when he went in with a kiss, she walked back. One day she was crossing the street right in front of the hotel. A speeding automobile hit her. Threw her into the air. She came down. And there she lay in a pool of her own blood. Until the ambulance was called. When the ambulance was called and hastened only 4 or 5 blocks away to the hospital, Mr. Harding phoned the husband and said, "You better hurry home. Your wife is very sick." "Oh, no, it couldn't be. I just said goodbye to her a few minutes ago. It's not my wife. You better go to the hospital. I'll meet you there." And he did. When this man was given the sad news, Bobby, his wife, was dead. Her body mangled practically by the impact. That poor fellow couldn't contain himself. Almost went out of his mind. Couldn't believe it. 2 days later, I went by this man. To see you. Oh, Brother West, let me take you to the spot. He took me to the spot, the crossing in there was a big dark spot on the pavement. That's her blood. He said, "I can't cross this street. I'll never cross this street. I'll go around the block." He said, "That's too safe for me." And he stood there and he sobbed as the cars went by. He said, "Look at them. They don't stop. They don't slow down." He couldn't understand the indifference of the public. to such a sacred spot that took his young one from. Oh, I said, the reason is, they don't know. They don't know. That's why they don't stop. They're not interested. And that's when this text came into my mind. The Lord Jesus said, and he says it prophetically, how sad, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. Wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. You say, I can't understand a man remembering something like that. So long, it's sentiment, it's past. The Lord Jesus remembered, remembering mine affliction, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath it still in remembrance. Jesus Christ remembers Calvary. And we look at scars through our eternity that will remind us of Calvary. Every Sunday morning, Christians come together in certain places to remember a sacred spot where a loved one's blood was shed. We'll never forget it. Jesus Christ remembered. We know that Jeremiah didn't experience this that we've been reading. He didn't know anything about this. Neither did David know anything about what he gave utterance to in Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? They pierced my hands, my feet. Old Testament prophets gave expression to experiences, or that is, the experience of someone else. They didn't go through it. And that's why I read you that text in peace. The Spirit of God put in the very mouth of David, centuries before, the very language that the Lord Jesus uttered on the cross. And the same to Jeremiah. Jeremiah is speaking prophetically when he says, is it nothing to you? All ye that pass by, see if there's any sorrow like unto my sorrow, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. When was that day of fierce anger? It was when Jesus Christ hung upon the cross. From above hath he sent fire into my bones. The lady I referred to, her death was an accident. But the death of Christ was no accident. It was by design. He voluntarily died. Voluntarily. He laid down his life for you. He laid down his life for me. As he hangs on the cross, he looks at those walking up and down in front of the cross. They're shaking their head. They're saying, if you be Christ, come down from the cross, and we will believe. Yes, men and women today are indifferent. You talk to them about the sufferings of Christ, about salvation. They shake their head. Not interested. Not interested. What about you? Is it nothing to you? Absolutely nothing. That God sent his Son into this world to die upon the cross, to save you, to put away your sins, to keep you from going to hell, that you might go to heaven and be with him in life forever. is it nothing to you? Not one tiny little thing? Is it nothing to you? All these will pass by. Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my soul. Can you think of anyone's sorrow equal or comparable to the suffering Jesus Christ has sorrowed? That sorrow that was so deep, so undeserved, and yet so effective. The sufferings of Christ. Oh, what sorrows were his. Sorrows of the mind. Sorrows of the soul and spirit. God visited him. He laid upon him all our iniquities. He made to meet upon him the iniquities of us all. And God punished his only son. And you're indifferent. You're not interested. The shrug of the shoulder. So what? How can you be indifferent? How can you be unconcerned? How can you get into the current of this wicked, materialistic world? Whose philosophy is this? Eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we'll die. Let's make the best of the present. You're not concerned about what happened at Calvary 1900 years ago. People will go to the Holy Land from all over the world. See a place where Jesus died. I wonder how many enter into the reality of it. I wonder how many have gotten saved standing. Why was this blood shed? Is it just curiosity? Is it just a tour? What's the message? The Lord Jesus, if he could speak to heaven, from heaven to those multitudes that go to the Holy Land, is it nothing to you? With your trampling feet and your lightness of heart, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Don't you realize what happened here? Don't you realize who died here and why he died? I haven't forgotten, he says. Remembering my affliction, my misery, the world, the God, my soul have it still in remembrance and is humbled within me. Oh, the indifference of the human heart today. What are you going to do about the Lord Jesus Christ this morning in the light of this prophetic and pathetic expression of grief over indifference, the indifference of human hearts? God punishing him for my sin. Don't you give him a thought? Don't you owe him a tear? When he suffered for you, passing by, no time to think, to inquire, to seek, to accept. With one man lying in the ditch, and a priest passed by on the other side. Just another case of banditry. A Levite comes along. Another look, just another victim, casualty, banditry, to pass by on the other side. People that are just that indifferent about the cross of Jesus Christ. It's just a thought that stops for a moment and rushes on. They don't stop to think. Who died here 1900 years ago and why? For whom? These are questions. Indifferent of human hearts. Millions of people, likely all over the world, are sitting listening to something about the Bible, about the person of Christ. Choose the amen instead of the end. They hurry home. They turn on the knob. What's on TV? The impression didn't last long. Indifference. As I reflect back upon the Carolinas many years ago, people would come and hear the gospel. They had time to hear it then. They don't seem to have time today. They'd come and hear the gospel and tell me the story. When they were home, they couldn't sleep. They couldn't sleep the second night. They couldn't sleep the third night. They couldn't sleep until they finally accepted Christ and got peace. Not much of that today. People were thinking then. Thinking about eternal enemies. Thinking about a precious soul that needs to be saved. Thinking about where will they spend eternity? There is no time to think. They're indifferent. You may get through life without Christ. You'll find it awfully hard to get through death and eternity without. You don't think about those things, but you will. Is there nothing to you, all of you that pass by? Behold and see at the beginning sorrow like unto my sorrow, which was done unto me, and the world punish me for your sins. People go right on nobody, too busy making money, having a good time, planning their future, because of this indifference to Christ, you have already messed up your parents. Is that right? Are you going to still leave it in a mess? Or are you going to make a change? Is it nothing to you? Wag my hands as they did in front of the cross. What the Lord Jesus wants is for you to nod your head. Not say no, but nod your head with an acknowledgement that he was dying for you and you're going to accept him. And you're going to accept him now. What about the subject? Is it nothing to you, Mother? Is it nothing to you, Father? The sufferings of Christ and the glories that are to follow. To these thoughts comes a fleeting visitor. Or do you want the lesser resident to come into your heart? And these thoughts linger until Christ himself comes in to stay. No man's history. All indifference and difference. Even Christians are guilty of indifference. Indifferent to their responsibility. Indifferent to the fact that many of them are going to hell and they're going to stay they're going to suffer forever. You can't take the horrors out of hell, you can't take the joys out of heaven. These are facts. God wants you to face up to these facts this morning. There's really nothing to tell you. Not a thing. How many of us could sing that hymn? Years I spent in vanity and pride, knowing not my Lord was crucified, caring not it was for me he died at Calvary. Would you like to change it? That next verse is, now I give to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own as my king. No matter to soul the only sin of Calvary. Say goodbye to indifference, carelessness, unconcern, the spectator attitude, get involved. Realize what happened at Calvary. That's the most sacred place in the universe of God. And all the coming eternity, all the glory to God and the blessings of men, those saved by grace will revolve around Calvary. The Son of God will have the scars, his hands and feet and side, to forever remind them of that place where his blood was shed. It's left a scar that will never be erased. The spot on that pavement is long since gone, likely covered over with another layer of blacktop. You can't erase the precious blood of Christ. It's there. And you've got to face it. What will you do with Jesus? What will your answer be? Someday, your soul will be asking, what will he do with me? Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? We will not see if there be any sorrow like unto my soul. No sorrow comes to this. Oh, that this morning you would really come to Christ, accept him, here and now, as you say. Oh, you say, Brother Wilson, I'll think about it. I know I should do something about it. And I'd like to get saved. Do you mean it? Would you like to get saved, really saved, know all your sins forgiven, possess this moment everlasting life, the assurance you'll never perish, you'll be with the light Christ forever? You say yes. I'd like to know that. Would you like to know it now? Well, that's another thing. Someday I'd like to know. What about now? But now I give to Jesus everything. Now I'll gladly own as my king. Now my raptured soul, the only sin of Calvary. What will you do with the Lord Jesus Christ? This ministry with the crossroads or the forks is one way. For the Bible says no man can serve two masters. You'll either have to love him or hate him. There's no neutrality here. What is your attitude? Still one of indifference, unconcern, or one of sincerity, a real desire to come to are no prizes. Come to know him now. It's one thing you'll never forget. He will come to me constantly and thank me for preaching the gospel to him and recall the time when it happened. I've never had one come and say, Mr. Wilson, I'm sorry you came around here. I'm sorry you preached the gospel. I'm sorry I got saved. I've never heard one say that. I've heard some say, I wish I'd have got saved sooner. Friend, joy is always associated with preaching Christ. Wouldn't you like to know him this morning? You may. He's yours for the taking, without money, without price. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we come into thy presence. How we thank thee for thy son, thy only son. We thank thee for Calvin. We trust this morning thy Holy Spirit will awaken men and women to their indifference and their carelessness, their lethargy, even Gnosticism, a wallflower. May eternity be impressed upon their eyeballs and their hearts, bring them to a decision for Christ. We ask it in this worthy and precious name. Amen. Shall we say 2:42?